Well, good morning. Do you notice we actually had moisture out there? Do you know what that is? Yeah. It's a great day. And if you need an outline, raise your hand. We'll get you one for the message in a few moments. Next Sunday, I want to review to make sure we know what's about to happen. Next Sunday, we celebrate 25 years of God's faithfulness. And it's going to be quite the party, so I hope you will join us. There'll be coffee and munchkins and all sorts of things out there. We're going to have an amazing time of praise and worship, and the message will be, it's going to be different. Maybe it'll be biblical, but it's going to be... It's going to be really a joy to worship Jesus together. And as mentioned a few minutes ago in the video, we're having a special anniversary offering. And we are setting a goal, once again, of 400,000. And once again, humanly speaking, that sounds really crazy. This offering, though, will be during the praise time. There will be an opportunity. I know many of us give online, but this one time a year, there's something really special about physically getting up and participating in an active expression of gratefulness and sacrifice. And so during the praise and worship, if you've not been here for one of our anniversary services, we'll actually have an opportunity to be able to just come and present our offerings, our praise, our burdens to the Lord as a church family. And there's something really, really special about that. Kids participate. They sacrifice as well. And I hope you're preparing your heart for that time. And I want to talk again really quickly. I know we mentioned in the video of the three big projects that this offering will go to. The first one is renovating and expanding our facilities. You may have noticed there's some construction going on. And our goal is within a year, over the next year, we would be a duct tape-free carpet facility. And we've been, as you know, we've been saving for a long time because we want to do everything in cash and not borrow anything. And so this is going to allow us to move the offices out there, which will save money in AC and heat. But more importantly, it will open up the whole middle of our facility, which will allow us to put in a big fellowship area, which we really don't have. That big blue area in the middle will be a huge room, as well as a commercial kitchen. Finally, we've been promising people this for about 20 years. And everybody's been very patient. Mo's is going to be really sad when we build this thing, but we're excited. And you'll notice the big yellow. There's a widening of the main corridor so people can actually get to church without playing bumper cars. And there's a enlarging of the center lobby. So lots happening there. Also, this same project has allowed us to pay cash for the Northwest Church facility, 7.5 acres and a building above Furman. And Lord willing, services will begin there in the middle of January. Our offering will also allow us to help Piedmont Women's Center build their new facility in order to rescue more children and provide life-transforming care and counseling. And that's a real privilege. But wait, there's more. We also will be supporting some more Water of Life projects in order to provide life-saving clean water and assist our partners as they plant more churches. So as I think about these things and think about what God is allowing us to do here and around the world, my thought goes right to 2 Samuel 7. You remember when David was praying his prayer of gratitude, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house? Like, who are we as a church? Who are we that we would get to do and be a part of both experiencing the grace that God has poured out on us and then being able to pass it on? That's what we are, is conduits of God's kindness. And we get to experience it and share it. And this really hit me last night. I was flying back from speaking in Phoenix yesterday and flying out of Dallas and talking to a lady next to me who used to go to church, isn't really interested anymore, and just kind of questioning things. And during the conversation, got to share my story. I got in three different chairs. No, I didn't move around on the plane. But got to share my story, and it was interesting. When I finished sharing, she had asked me some questions as I was asking her questions, and she looked at me at the end and said, "You have been blessed." And at that moment, like, we're flying out of Dallas, and there's a full moon radiating all across this amazing city, lights. And we were able to talk about, you know, God is in a posture of blessing. He sent his son not to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. God's posture is that of generosity. Like, he is leaning toward us. And when Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he's pleading with you, be blessed. But you got to come to me, not to the garbage of this world. Money's not going to do it. Entertainment's not going to do it. Politics are not going to do it. Like, come to me, and I will give you rest. Like, he's ready to bless. He's ready to bless everyone. And let's look real quickly at Matthew 7, where he talks about this important distinction. He made a sobering comparison near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, if you're using a seat Bible, it's page 812. 812. Matthew 7:24. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So he's talking in this analogy of two kinds of people. There are two kinds of people, and they're both right here, right now. Number one, people who do his word. Number two, people who don't do his word. Did you notice that? Verse 24, one does them. Verse 26, one does not do them. Now, before you try to figure out which you are, be careful, because it may not look like what you think. There are similarities. Notice the similarities in this analogy. Both heard, verse 24, hears these words of mine. Verse 26, hears these words of mine. It's possible to hear his word and not do his word. Ezekiel 33, 31 to 32, and they come to you, God says, as people come. And they sit before you as my people. And they hear what you say, and they will not do it. For with lustful talk, that is pleasant, in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs, pleasant, attractive songs, with a beautiful voice, and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. It's like watching a good YouTube video. You may be enjoying the video, but you're not embracing the message. Both heard, both built. Verse 24, built his house. Verse 26, built his house. What does that mean? Both lived his life. played sports, worked a job, studied at school, made friends, texted friends, slept, ate, got married, had kids, lived single, both built his house. Both, thirdly, encountered storms. Verse 25, rain fell, floods came, winds blew. Verse 27, rain fell, floods came, winds blew. We will all suffer. No one is immune to the difficulties and the disappointments of life. But the way we suffer is actually a preview of how we will respond in a time, in the time of judgment. These storms of life are tremors that point toward the storm of death. When the rain of God's wrath and the flood of God's righteous requirements and the wind of God's all-knowing spirit blow through our house. And at that point, some will fall and some will not fall. And this is where the difference, the similarities evaporate. Notice the differences. Verse 27, one house fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 25, the other did not fall. Why? Because one house was built on sand. Verse 26, and the other was built on rock. Verse 24. So, question we need to wrestle with is, what is the difference between rock and sand? Building on rock, number one, is humbling and stabilizing. Remember, Jesus is teaching in a time when there were no bulldozers or dynamite. So when you encountered a huge slab of rock, you adjusted your plans to the rock. It is humbling. You didn't put the rock there. You didn't create it. You didn't shape the rock. You adjusted your life to the rock. And that is why in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. For Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block, a rock of offense to Jews, and folly to Greeks, to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Building on rock is humbling, but it is stabilizing. Building on sand is self-inflating and deceiving. Sand feels nice when it's warm and squishy between your toes. Sand conforms to your plans. You can customize sand. You can squish it in a bucket and make it into whatever shape you squish it into. So sand can fit your attractions, your dreams, your culture, the trends. So there are two kinds of people. People who do his word and people who don't do his word. Both hear the word, but one places his or her thoughts underneath the words of Christ. His thoughts, his desires, his plans, his past, his future, all coming up under the words of Christ. Christ, you have the words of life. Like, I don't have the words of life in and of myself. Christ has the words of life. So on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So what we're about to do in baptism is basically today, throughout the day, around 20 people saying, I say no to sand. I say yes to Christ. That's it. Like all of our sand looks different. Some of our sand even it looks religious and moral sand. But it's sand. And it will not stand in the day of judgment, both the trials of today and the ultimate judgment of the future. But when we stand on the rock, He stabilizes us. He takes our feet out of the miry clay and puts our feet on the rock of His provision through His sacrifice, His unchanging, steadfast love. And we get the joy of just getting little snippets through this video of the testimonies of small children, adults, saying, I say no to sand. And as they plunge under the water, they are picturing the fact that Jesus Christ took my storm of judgment so that I could be washed clean and rest sure on His provision and His cleansing love. So it pictures cleansing, pictures new life. The water doesn't save, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, You have provided what we could never provide. We could never do what You have done for us. And You are in the posture of blessing, pouring out kindness and grace. You're not desiring that people be condemned. Well, I pray, Lord, we would open our hearts, our hands, say yes, Lord. Yes, and make us conduits of Your blessing. Bring glory to Your name through these testimonies, Lord. And if anyone here standing on sand, may they turn to You, Jesus, the rock, and experience Your transforming grace. In Jesus' name, amen.